True holiness is inspired by grace. And true holiness and true grace requires living in a whole different attitude and a whole different way. And when people who were without Christ all of a sudden saw Christ, they were like, wow, what is it? Scripture never shows us anyone who went away lacking. Jesus always met the need for those who were hungry enough to seek him and say, what's different?
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
Why did Jesus come to earth? Why? We say the obvious. He came to die. He came to die. And think about that. In so doing, in so giving his life on the cross for our sins, he took what we deserved. But in so doing, he qualified us to receive what he deserved. Let that soak in for just a minute. He took what we deserve, and in so doing, qualified us to receive what he deserved. That's profound. That's powerful. But you know, if you look all through the Gospels, we could say many reasons why Jesus came to earth. But the truth of the matter is, at least I feel like the truth of the matter is, they're all sub-points to why Jesus truly came. And I think the biggest purpose of his coming was to reveal the Father to us. To reveal God the Father to us so that we would have a clear picture of who God is and the precious Heavenly Father that we serve and the precious Heavenly Father who loves us so dearly. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this, the love of God, was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God wants to give you life, life more abundant and free, not just in eternity, not just a home in heaven, but the best quality of life that you can know even here on earth. I'm not saying that you won't have pains and heartaches and that things that just seem negative will come into your life. But here's the thing. When you have Jesus and when he's in your life and operating through you, those things are so much more bearable than without him. Understand that. So God loves you and God wants to give you life. One third thing I want to share with you, and it's this. Jesus reveals that God's wrath toward your sin, if you are in Christ Jesus, that's the qualifier, that God's wrath towards sin is not on you. Again, if you are in Christ Jesus, that's what qualifies that statement. I see so many people and they live their life as if God is angry at them, if God is up in heaven just waiting for them to make a mistake, and he's going to pull out that heavenly fly swatter and smack them. But understand this. What Jesus did on the cross for you It's beautiful because what he did, the wrath that would have been on our sin, Jesus deferred it and absorbed it. He took what we deserved and in so doing qualified us to receive what he deserves. All right? So God loves you. He's passionate and crazy about you. God wants to give you life more abundant and free. And God, if you're in Christ Jesus, his wrath upon your sin is not on you. Jesus absorbed and diverted that wrath away. Now, some important life application that I want you to receive from this morning. If you're not secure in who you are in Christ Jesus, and if you're not secure in your relationship with God, if you really do think that God can love others but he can't love you because of whatever is in your past, if you think God can give others life but he probably just can't do that for you, or if you feel like God is just waiting for you to miss the mark so he can pull out that celestial fly swat and whack you. Understand, Jesus has done for you what you couldn't do for yourself. All right? Understand that. Say it with me. God loves me. Say it with me. God loves me. God loves me. God wants to give me life. Say it with me. God wants to give me life. Yes. And in Jesus Christ, the wrath on my sin was diverted and absorbed by Christ Jesus. Now, it's so important that we understand that and that we're secure in that. Because just like Jesus came to reveal the Father, Jesus gave us a great commission to do what? To reveal him to a world that so desperately needs him. And see, we can't effectively minister for Christ if we're not secure in our relationship with Christ and secure in our relationship with God and really understand how much God loves us. When that becomes a living word inside of us, boy, there comes not an arrogance, but a confidence in God. A confidence in God that we know that we know. And boy, we're ready to take on the world for Christ Jesus. John, the last verse of our main text in 1 John, he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love," you think he would say, "love God." And I think that's just implied there. What does he say? He says, "love one another." He starts with the idea of loving one another, and he ends this paragraph with the idea of loving one another. But here's what I truly believe, that we can't truly love one another if we're not first confident in God's love for us. You know, I'm reminded of two neighbors that just could not get along. One had a dog, the other had a bunny. The one with the dog would go into the neighbor's yard with the bunny and would dig holes and make messes, and the neighbor had to keep their pet bunny in a cage all the time to protect it from the dog. Well, one day the neighbor with the dog looked out and she saw the dog in the neighbor's backyard tossing that little white bunny up in the air. And she said, "Oh no, this is really going to make things bad between me and my neighbor. I got to go out there and save the bunny." And the dog was just tossing the bunny up in the air with its mouth. And when she got out there, the bunny was laying on the ground, dog slobber all over it, and very much lifeless. And the woman thought, oh my goodness, this is really going to make things difficult now with my neighbor. And she looked and she noticed that her neighbor wasn't even aware of what was going on. So she grabbed up the dead bunny and she ran it back to her house. She throws it in the bathtub. She gives it a bath. She scrubs it up really good. She gets out the blow dryer and blows that white bunny back. I mean, this bunny looks better now dead than it ever did alive. This big, white, fluffy bunny. She looks out. She notices her neighbor's not noticing what's going on. So she runs carefully and puts the bunny back in the cage, props the bunny up. Later that afternoon, she hears this awful cry from the backyard, and she says, "I know what happened. My neighbor's discovered that the bunny is dead, but I'm going to pretend like I don't know anything about it." And sure enough, that's what she did. She ran out. She says, "What's wrong? What's wrong? Can I help you?" And the neighbor said this. She says, I don't understand it. My bunny died yesterday and we buried it in the backyard. And today it's come back to its cage. But here's the thing. You and I, we are meant for more, to be that white, fluffed up, fluffy bunny in the cage, lifeless. We are meant for more than that in this life. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus' life. Sinners loved Jesus. They were attracted to Jesus. It was the religious people that hated Jesus, but the sinners loved Jesus. And see, that's why we have to be so secure in God's love for us, so that we live in such a way that we're not only mirroring that love, but that we're also mirroring Christ Jesus to a world that so desperately, desperately needs him. So desperately needs him. You're meant for more than to just be a fluffed up bunny, lifeless in a cage. And here's the thing. Jesus never condoned our sin. But sinners had a way of coming because they recognized something in Jesus. And they realized that they needed what Jesus had. They understood the religious folks didn't have it. They thought they had life through keeping the law and through keeping the rituals and through going through the motions day in and day out. And they realized there was no life in that. Those religious leaders were those dead bunnies in cages, fluffed up. They looked good, but they were dead. But they recognized Jesus had life because Jesus was secure that he and the Father were one. And Jesus took everything that you deserved, and in so doing, qualified you to receive what he deserved. So guess what? Just as Jesus and the Father are one through Jesus Christ, you are now joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We are adopted into the family of God. So you have eternity running through your veins if you know Christ Jesus. You are a blood-bought child of God. You are royalty. And when you're secure in that, guess what? Sinners are going to notice that. And they're going to be attracted to you. And they're not going to really understand why they're attracted to you. And you may be thinking, but Scripture says, what fellowship has light with darkness? I'm not asking you to get down and roll in their sin with them. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus never condoned what they were doing. But here's what I believe. True holiness is inspired by grace. And true holiness and true grace requires living in a whole different attitude and a whole different way. And when people who were without Christ all of a sudden saw Christ, they were like, wow, what is it? What is it? And what Jesus always... Scripture never shows us anyone who went away lacking if they really desired to receive. Think about that. Jesus always met the need for those who were hungry enough to seek him and say, what's different? And there's the life application for us. Be secure in God's love for you. Be secure in the knowledge that he wants to give you life more abundant and free through Christ Jesus. Be secure that he's not just waiting for you to mess up so he can whack you with that heavenly fly swatter. That's not who God is. Jesus diverted that and took that away from you if you are in him. So act like the royalty you are. If you profess the name of Christ, you are royal. And you have eternity in your veins. And I encourage you and I challenge you, act like it. Act like it. And when you do, Watch those around you who lack what you have be attracted to you. And watch God bring ministry opportunities into your life to share Christ Jesus with so many who need it.
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.